It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Brian Mickey is a friend of a friend, who I guess would now be my friend. And he is the mayor of a community called Hunter's Creek. And Hunter's... no, he's not. He's the mayor of Hedwig Village. I don't know who the mayor of Hunter's Creek is. Hedwig Village is, if you go to Federal American Grill, Hedwig Village is that community, the one on I-10 near Campbell. They're right next to I-10 and then going back. It's one of the villages there, Hunter's Creek, Piney Point, Bunker Hill. And then on the other side is Spring Valley and Hillshire Village. I have frequently made the point that if you want to see well-run government, it ain't City of Houston and it ain't Harris County. It's these villages. But there again, their mayors are so much more competent than the mayor of the City of Houston or the county judge because they're successful in their private businesses and they do this for nothing. It's true community service. So anyway, the mayor there is a friend of mine. And he says to me, yesterday, my wife mustered the courage and went down and spoke to school board tonight. I had heard that her comments were stirring things up. And he said, yeah, she mustered the courage and she spoke to the school board. I said, could you get me? It just so happened I taped it. He's the proud husband taping his wife at the meeting. And I listened. The audio wasn't great. And I asked her. Because we need more mommy guests. Because every family has a mommy. And every family is going through kid issues. And every family understands why this is important and can't understand why our schools have gone so wrong. So, Jeanette, Mickey, do you have your statement that you read to the school board?
I do.
Okay. Could you read that? But you spoke very quickly, but probably because you were nervous. I want you
right.
to do that, but I want you to do it very slowly. Ramon,
okay.
Should we put music under or no music? You want some music under it for pacing, or are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, all right. Slowly and clearly, because I listened to it twice. The audio wasn't great because it was an auditorium, but it was so
right.
well said. So take it away.
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Blaine and Board of Trustees. I am here tonight to speak about COVID protocols and what my expectations as a parent are for next year's operations. First, I know dealing with the COVID situation has been an unprecedented time for our country, and I truly appreciate all our district has done to get our kids in school. Now that we've been dealing with this virus for over 14 months, we've learned a lot. First and foremost, this virus is absolutely not a health crisis for young children. And the risk for older kids and teens is no more serious than the flu, which we deal with every year with zero changes to school procedures. And now, with effective vaccines reducing the risk for adults to a minuscule amount, it's time to return to 100% normalcy. COVID isn't going to disappear. Having a goal of zero cases is unattainable, and putting policies in place to achieve that goal are irrational, naive, and counterproductive. Our medical advisors were helpful in getting us back to school, but we did not elect them to make day-to-day decisions about our children's welfare. They are only looking at COVID safety in their decision-making process, which is absolutely not a holistic way to address education. They did the district a great service earlier this year, but now it's time to remove them from the district's operational decision-making. Here is a list of procedures in place that need to be eliminated for the next school year, and the reality is they should be stopped today. Number one, temperature checks at school. I doubt any cases of COVID have been caught with temperature checks, but it sure has wasted a lot of teachers' valuable time. Number two, the health screener. It's a bureaucratic waste of time. If a child is sick, the nurse will examine them and determine what to do, not look at a form their parents have filled out on an app. Number three, plexiglass in elementary schools. There is no proof it works to reduce spread, but it sure is a depressing sight for our small children. It is certainly affecting our daughter's social development in the lunchroom at her school. Number four, cohorting of elementary kids. This is borderline abuse in my mind. We can't do it for middle or high schools, so we don't. we can for the little ones, so we make them remain with their cohort simply because we can. This is putting our third-grade daughter at increased risk. How? She spends 30 minutes walking home from school now because she wants to visit with her friends she can't see on the playground. It used to take her 10. The playground is a much safer place for her to play with her friends in the creeks on Hedwig Road on the way home. Parent number five, parent volunteers on campus. They help tremendously in need to return. Not 5 or 10 or another made-up number. It just needs to be the way it was in 2019. Number six, 100% online test. Have you taken a geometry test on a computer? Our son has for an entire year. It's torture, and it needs to stop. Number seven, flipping in-person learners to synchronous and asynchronous days. This is not a convenient substitute for school and needs to go away. Number eight, Big Brother announcements in school and at extracurricular and sports activities. I can hear the speaker at the Memorial High School fields from South Wales telling everyone who are outside at sporting events to social distance and wear masks. If anyone would have seen a video clip of this 2 years ago, they would never believe this Orwellian world is what we would be living in. These need to stop. Nine, masks. I know the expectation is they will not be required. I fully expect this to be true for students, teachers, and parent volunteers. People who desire the vaccine are getting it. We do not need to be wearing or requiring masks. It is our responsibility as parents to keep our children healthy. It is your responsibility as a district to educate our children. With a highly effective vaccine readily available, the need for any and all non-pharmaceutical interventions disappears. In closing, I'd like to point out some real problems our kids are facing. Over 1,000 kids die of childhood cancer each year. Kids die in accidents, from drug overdoses and suicides, which are tragically increasing with the lockdowns over the last year. Kids suffer from depression and anxiety, also on the rise in the last year. We have a child with type 1 diabetes, a manageable disease, but it requires constant care. There are real problems our kids are facing, and statistically speaking, COVID isn't even on the list. Please let our kids return to a truly normal school experience and get rid of the laundry list of rules that they have had to live with over the past year. Thank you for your time.
And how was that received?
It was received well by the audience, I think.
And the school board?
They don't comment. They just say thank you and go on with their meeting.
Are these, do you know the members of the school board?
I know some of them, yes.
I mean,
I do know the superintendent.
Are these mommies and daddies that just cared about their school, or are these the type of people who are using this as HISD is so they can either get a consulting gig with a school contractor or run for state rep afterwards?
No, I don't think that. I think most of them get on the school board with good intentions, and I think probably they started with good intentions. But the problem is that it's very hard to be brave in this world we're living in and say, you know what, it's the right thing for our kids to go back to school. It's easier for them to say, let's wait a little bit. And we did start school in September, which they're very proud of. I mean, we personally pulled our kids out of Spring Branch and sent them to school in Huntsville so they'd be in school in August because it was that important to us.
Wow. Can you hold with me for just a moment? I'm up against a break, Jeanette. I want to talk about, I want to go one by one through your list because you put a lot of time into this.
All right,
hold on.
Socks and have them hanging out on the line. I can start an iron 2 dozen shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the dripping can. Throw the skillet, go out and do my shopping. Be back before it melts in the pan. Cause I'm a woman.
Jeanette Mickey is our guest. She spoke to the Spring Branch Independent School District board meeting last night. Had you ever spoken before the school board?
No, I haven't.
Why did you do it? What did you hope to accomplish? What would a win have been?
Well, I just want them to understand there are a lot of parents who are fed up with all of the rules. I think we've kind of gotten to where they keep coming up with rules that are in theory better, But in actuality, those are making our kids' days more difficult, more stressful. They're just unnecessary. And there's no proof that any of these things work or help reduce the spread of COVID.
Do you think they don't know that? I mean, they have kids. They should be able to see. I have kids. I can see it. And my kids are 14 and 15. My kids don't even mind wearing a mask. But I see how some things can affect children. And as adults, that's our job. I mean, don't these people have kids?
Right, exactly. And I get pictures from the elementary teacher, which she's very sweet to send them, but the kids in the classroom with masks on, it's depressing. I don't want to get used to this. I don't want us to say, well, this is just the way it is now. I don't agree that it should be that way.
All right. I've got a bunch of questions, so I'm going to ask you to answer them really quickly as if you're running for office.
Okay.
Do you want the elimination of masks if a child doesn't want to wear them in the school?
Oh, of course, yes. Absolutely.
Why are the temperature checks bad? Is it the wasted time?
It's a waste of time. Even if the kids have COVID, they don't even have a fever. It's just it doesn't make any sense.
I got to tell you, I hate going to restaurants. You know, there are restaurants now that are taking your temperature as you go in, and some of them are trying to put that, what do you call the stuff that cleans your hands? Sanitizer.
Oh, they want
nothing says you're about to have a great time out quite like, let's check your temperature and do the hand sanitizer. Should we check my BP at the same time?
Okay, right.
Who is this health screener?
Wash our hands.
You made reference to a health screener. Who is that?
Okay, so there is an app that you are supposed to fill out every morning before your child goes to school. So there's 30,000 kids in the district. So everyone's supposed to fill out an app and answer 10 questions. I've never filled it out. I refuse.
I know exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the plexiglass. I get it, but explain your problem there.
So if you walk in our school, there are plexiglass kind of three sides around our little ones in the cafeteria. They're also every other seat, so they're not next to each other. And she literally sits at her lunch and stares at plexiglass, and if she wants to talk to her friend, she has to lean back so she can talk around the plexiglass. It's ridiculous.
Cohorting. You had a problem with cohorting. What is that?
Cohorting. So you know, middle school, high school, they all change periods because you have different classes and different sports. The kids are all intermingling all day. Well, in elementary school, they've decided that it's better if all the third grade classrooms stick together. So there's 20 kids in the class. And those kids cannot play with other kids on the field. So during recess, the third graders all have recess together, but you either get the play area, the tire swing, or the track, and you can't commingle. So they're on the field with their friends, and they can't actually hang out with friends from other classes. It so happens to be that she's in a year where there's not many girls in her class. It's mostly boys. And she cannot go play with the other friends because that would be commingling. So we're just punishing them because we can. You can't do that to a middle or high schooler. They're in a school with 2,000 kids.
Point number five, I couldn't understand what the issue was. Could you, what is that?
Oh, the parent volunteers?
Okay, all right. Yeah, go ahead.
That's basically, you know, parents aren't allowed on campus at all this year. Now they've said that they could have 5 or 10 people at an outdoor event with a mask on for the end of school party. I mean, they're just making these numbers up.
Of course they are.
Next year, it needs to be back to normal.
You mentioned online testing and that's not an effective way, that's unduly difficult. Why?
Right. So for geometry, I mean, can you imagine having to do geometry tests online? You have to do the work on the paper and then enter it on it's on a computer and make sure you space everything correctly. It's terribly frustrating. And I mean, there's some tests, of course, that can be taken online, a multiple choice test, but there's some tests that really just cannot be online, but they have them online. I think at first was because they didn't want to have paper. And then now there's kids that are virtual and they have to take it online. So they do it like that, I think, to be fair for everyone.
My kids go to the same school, and my ninth grader had the same person for Texas history as my seventh grader now does. And we have a good relationship with him. He's one of probably the favorite teacher we've ever had of all of them, and we've only ever had good teachers. But she called him up, and she said, hey, you know, Crockett seems to be struggling more in class than he used to. And I don't want to sound like a mommy, but I'm going to make excuses for my kid, but it feels like this online thing is not working well. And this was when they had just come back from to school. And he right. said, Miss Berry, imagine trying to get 15 to 20 seventh graders to sit still long enough to listen to ancient Texas history from 150 years ago. Now imagine doing that where I can't see what they're doing and they're all on computers. And he said, we're not teaching. The teachers are so depressed. This is not teaching. This in no way resembles teaching. And, you know, shortly thereafter, they came back to class and everything was fine. But, you know, the Big Brother announcements? I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been at school events.
That'd be crazy.
You know, like I'm sure yours are. My kids are in competitive sports, and we go to other schools.
Right.
And you see, and there is some guy who's been given something to read, and it sounds like the bomb drill in Russia in 1958.
Yes.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. It's terrible that that's just what we hear this all the time, and the ads on the radio constantly. CDC ads. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
We got to stop.
Have you heard from anyone from the school district in response to your comments last night?
No, I have not.
Do you think they took them to heart, or were they checking their text messages while you were talking?
I think they probably took them to heart somewhat, but then they also think they're doing a good job. And in some ways, they are doing a good job. I just think we need to move faster and get back to normal.
Has this changed your opinion with regard to your level of involvement at the school? Would you ever run for school board?
I don't know that I would ever run for school board, but I am supporting a candidate right now that's running, and I know some other people that hopefully will run in the future.
Is that Chris Ernest?
Yes, absolutely.
Very aptly named. When he came to me and said he was running, I thought to myself, good grief, as bad as Spring Branch school board politics are, how ugly it's going to be. And this woman Elizondo he's running against that the teachers union is backing, as I understand it, that's gotten a little bit nasty. But you know what, this is good for parents to understand. You can't just pay your taxes and send your kid to school anymore. You have to get involved in the governance. You can't trust the superintendents and the principals to do the right thing, because there are outside influences that are not always as pure as a parent's love for their children, because that's all we care about.
Right. And Chris was there last night, too.
Well, good. Well, I'm supporting him. I hope he wins, and I hope that inspires a lot of other people. And you know what, Jeanette? I think it should inspire you. I do. Because to be bold enough to get up and speak at a gathering like that is, it takes you out of the backbencher and engaging in what's going on. So I just want you to know I'm supporting you in the next election when you run for the school board, and we'll say we did it here. And I'm asking everybody that we know in common to reach out to you and say, Jeanette, if it is to be, it's up to thee. You're going to have to do this. Thanks for being our guest here. And thanks for being bold enough to speak out. Concerts put on virtually with big, big names just for the concert. It's happening. We'll talk about it coming up.
Berry Show, Michael Berry.
Economy always responds. Whatever happens, there will be niche businesses that will crop up in response. And you don't see it until it comes to fruition, but somebody had an idea. So I hear about something called Encore Drive-In Nights 2021. They're putting together concerts that, because the concert venues are not open for live concerts, it's a drive-in outdoor theater experience across the country that they broadcast this to. And I guess they've already started. So Walter Kinsey is leading this effort. It's called Encore Drive-In Nights. Walter, what in the world are you guys doing? I guess Bon Jovi is the first concert you're doing?
Well, so Bon Jovi's the first for 2021. It'll be our fifth major production since we came up with this idea last May. We were in the concert business, and it was all shut down. We lost all of our shows in 4 days, the first 4 days of the pandemic. I consider it an incredible blessing that it happened so quickly because it freed us up to start innovating and thinking about new ways to dream up big possibilities. And so last summer, we did four shows, Garth Brooks, 350,000 ticketed fans from across North America.
Wow.
We did Blake Shelton, followed by Metallica. And then we did a country festival with a bunch of up-and-coming country artists. All in, we had almost 1 million people during a global pandemic show up to our shows without a single COVID incident, without a single safety incident. We kept everybody safe. We dipped our toes at the beginning of this calendar year into specialty sports, and we hosted the commercial side of the Conor McGregor fight. And we brought it to 19 different states. The experience was completely flawless. And just like our concerts, the fans that showed up had raving reviews and were incredibly delighted by how much better the experience was than what they were thinking. And the best way to describe it is a good old wholesome, safe tailgate party where you're with all of your loved ones and family and friends listening to some of your favorite music. So Bon Jovi, we announced yesterday to just an incredible amount of domestic and international press. It will be the largest global concert experience of his career, and he'll be broadcasting it. It's a never-seen-before concert. It hasn't even been produced yet. We'll be broadcasting it to nearly 2,000 venues all around the globe, two of which, the Moonstruck Drive-In and Chubbo's Drive-In, both in the Houston area.
So I'm fascinated by – I've had a little experience in the concert promotion and execution business. You've got 300 drive-ins. So how do you logistically – somebody goes to BonJoviConcert.com. I went to your website. They go to BonJoviConcert.com. They buy their ticket. How do you get 300 outdoor venues, drive-in theaters and the like to – I mean, how do you partner up there and share revenues and handle logistics and all of that?
Well, it was a massive undertaking to just say the least. There's 330 drive-ins in the United States and Canada that are owned by 305 individual small business owners. And I come from small town America. I grew up on a farm in Kansas. And so it's a great sense of pride for me to see that we're bringing some of the world's greatest entertainers to some of the smallest towns around North America, and now the world, as we've expanded to over 2,000 venues around the world. But it has been a massive undertaking. I've got the greatest team in entertainment for sure. But I'll tell you what, it was a whole lot of elbow grease. You know, you can't find movie theater phone numbers online. The numbers you find talk about what they're playing. You don't reach a real human being with them. And ultimately, we broke North America out into 35 different regions, and between our full-time staff and then some hired labor for last summer, we deployed 35 remote offices, and everybody had kind of their territories to go knock on doors and clipboard in hands explaining what we were trying to do. We shoestring this whole thing together, and you know, it's been a tremendous thing for these theaters. We're bringing incredible, relevant entertainment. They keep the concessions. They're getting a healthy part of the ticket, and so it's just been a fabulous thing for the individual small business owner.
They need content. They need people to come out. It's Moonstruck Drive-In in Houston. Who's the other one?
Showboat Drive-In Hockley, which is right down the road.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah, they're listeners to the show. That's a fantastic.
Yeah, they're incredible business owners too.
Yeah, you got Northwest side of Houston, and then the east side of Houston. Moonstruck is over near Hirsch Road, off of 10 and the 1059 interchange. That's a pretty good cross section. Is the intention after this concert to have a series of concerts, and these would be the venues for that as well?
Absolutely. So this is our first of an entire run of shows this year. We are really breaking ground left and right on what we're getting done with every show. We're adding venues. Yesterday we announced this on the Today Show, and a well-known promoter out of Australia called And now, you know, we'll be picking up New Zealand and Australia in our distribution. We've already added Ireland and much of South America and the UK. And so we're going to continue to grow our points of distribution. What we know for a fact, talking to the nearly 1 million people that came out to our shows last year, is that COVID or not, today it's expensive to go to shows. It's inconvenient to go to these big arenas and stadiums. And we are simplifying the process by bringing concerts locally to you that you don't sit in line forever. You don't park a half a mile away. You don't have to get there 4 hours early. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Nothing will replace a live show. Don't get me wrong. Nothing will replace a live show. But if you don't have the time to invest in a live show, if it is too far away from you, you got to remember the vast majority of our venues are in rural America.
Are you allowed to make out in your car like in the old drive-in days?
Oh, I'm convinced there's a handful, from what I personally witnessed, there's a handful of Encore Drive-In Nice Babies on the way if they're not
hey,
already
Mama,
here.
Mama, what are they
summer.
Doing in the car right over there? And you got to have one of those speakers that you hang in. I mean, I have such great memories as a kid of going to the drive-thru. It's great nostalgia. Bon Jovi in concert at the drive-in. It's bonjoviconcert.com. Two locations in Houston, Moonstruck Drive-In and Showboat Drive-In. Thanks for being with us, Walter. What a cool concept.
Thank you so much. Tickets are going to go fast, and they go on sale Thursday morning. There's only 300 tickets per venue available, so get them before they're gone.
Mask and shove. I ain't wearing it no more. The mayor said there was a mandate we would have to pay the toll. You better wear well, take this mask and shove it. I ain't wearing it no more.
The great reawakening of America First is here. So writes Chris Barron, who will be our guest in 10 minutes. An Oregon high school track coach is furious about the mandatory mask rule after one of his runners collapsed near the end of a race.
When a kid is running at max velocity and they need the oxygen to get through the race, something like the 800 is near impossible to run at Maggie's level without hitting the track. And we warned the OSAA, the Oregon School Athletics or Activities Association, a couple of months ago that this might happen. And knowing Maggie and how tough she is and how driven she is, she's going to run through pain regardless. And I think this just was beyond pain. She didn't have enough oxygen to make those last few meters, and she went down, and it was a scary scene.
Coach, have you ever seen anything like that, though? I mean, not only did she break the record as a junior, but she did it with a mask on.
It's unbelievable, actually, as you think about it, and you think about the respiratory rates of runners running at her speed and her level. You and I talking here, we breathe about 15 breaths every minute. She's going 40 to 60 breaths per minute. And not only can she not breathe effectively, she can't get rid of the carbon dioxide that's within that mask. It has nowhere to go when she's breathing that fast. And so I've never seen anybody do what she's done. It proves the level of toughness she has to get through that. But at the same time, should we be putting kids in that situation? We were very lucky this time. She didn't hurt herself horribly.
There has to come a time where people stop hiding from the truth. There has to come a time where people say, I know what is right and what is wrong, and I'm going to stand for it. The problem is you get these wusses that end up on school boards that can't take a stand. Well, I don't know, Louise. You know, I mean, I feel like, you know, it's not good that they're wearing a mask, but by the same token, a lot of people are complaining and saying they better wear that mask, and I just don't know. I am so sick of the Church of Laodicea in this country. The lukewarm, watered-down wimps. I am so sick of people who cannot take a stand. I like what you say because you say what I can't. Why can't you? I just can't. You're the problem then. You're as much the problem as the left is. I'm so tired of people who can see what's wrong but are unwilling to do anything about it. I'm sick of it. Every 10 years, we conduct a census. And based on that, we reapportion congressional representation. Based on that, the state of Texas will add 2 congressional seats to bump us up to 38. Florida will add 1. North Carolina will add 1. Colorado will add 1, as will Oregon and Montana. California will lose 1. New York will lose 1. Illinois will lose 1. Pennsylvania will lose 1. Ohio will lose 1, as will Michigan and West Virginia. Gosh, it's almost as if people are voting with their feet. Let's see. Low-tax, non-unionized states are all growing. High-tax, heavy-regulation, unionized states are all dying. It's almost as if people are moving away from that nonsense, isn't it? Odd how that works. The labor market is so tight right now thanks to the federal government's enhanced unemployment benefits. A McDonald's in Florida is paying people $50 just to show up for a job interview. And they're still having trouble attracting applicants. You ever heard the old, "I'm so poor, I can't pay attention"? These people are so broke. They're so emotionally broke, they can't even be bothered to show up for an interview for a job they never intend to get for a $50 incentive. Texas restaurants that managed to survive the pandemic are now facing the flip. The largest labor shortage in restaurant history. Joe Monastero, Chief Strategy and Ops Officer at the Texas Restaurant Association, says the unemployment checks are partly to blame. He said, "If I were to quote a few of our members over the past few days, they do believe their greatest competitor for staff right now would be the federal government. There's not a single phone call or a single interaction that we're having with a restaurateur right now where within the first 2 minutes they're not talking about how badly they need to find employees." I had dinner with Tillman Fertitta last week, and I wanted to talk about the finances of the pandemic in the last year. He said, "My biggest challenge is not finances. My biggest challenge is the same challenge that every other business is having. I can't get enough good people. I can't get enough good people to perform all the tasks that need to be performed, from cutting vegetables to preparing dishes to running them to the table to cleaning the table. It's just that hard." Whether you're the biggest like he is or you're a one-off shop, I'm hearing that over and over and over again. Finding good people. You know, I have had so many friends, listeners, show sponsors say to me the struggles that they're having with finding good people. I don't have the staffing we had with Misty and Kim and the whole crew willing to do our job fair, but I'm thinking of asking Mac if he will, because if you give it to Mac, it gets done, if he will host a job fair at Gallery Furniture, who's got all the space in the world, and just put tables out and people can stand at the table. I got to tell you, if you're looking for a job right now and you're not able to find one, you're not looking very hard. Or you're too picky. Because I can tell you, I'm hearing it from IT companies. I'm hearing it from entry-level restaurant staff to furniture companies to people that my buddy at Texas TransEastern, J.J. Isbell, they're dying to get folks with CDLs and put them out delivering fuel. I mean, and everything in between. Everybody is struggling to find people. I may just do a job fair. We'll see, Ramon. Let me ask Mac, see what he thinks. Yeah, get your resume ready. What have you done for 15 years? Well, I got paid a lot of money to push a dinger. They bring free food up here. I eat that and get yelled at because I'm not supposed to do that. Lost 160 pounds. Okay, but the great reawakening of America First is here. So says Chris Barron. He's our guest coming up.